Welcome to the Far From Shore podcast, where it's all about the Kraken and the community they play in. Welcome back to another Far From Shore podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Brayson, and I'm with my wife, Kimberly.
Hi, everyone.
All right. It's been 3 days since the ending of the season. We should just count it down or count up. Like every episode, it's like, it's been 45 days.
With no hockey.
With no hockey.
And our ESPN doesn't allow us to watch the playoffs right now, which is a big bummer.
It's blocked off.
I wonder if anyone else is going through that.
Yeah, I know. Because then you have to get like an external subscription through Fubo or all these other name brand things. Well, we have Max. Sometimes it plays on Max.
Yeah. Whenever it does play on Max, I'm like, woohoo.
Yeah. So.
And I remember it playing one game on ESPN. No. I'm wrong. It was the game before the playoffs that it did that. But now that it's officially in the playoffs, now they're all blocked out
again. Yeah. So it's playoff hockey season, springtime. And we watched a couple games. We watched the Bruins versus the, who was it? The Bruins?
Maple Leafs.
Sorry. I completely forgot.
And then we didn't watch Avs versus the Winnipeg Jets, but yeah, the Avs definitely got, I mean, that was a, sounded like a rough game.
It sounded like a really rough game.
Or crazy good. I don't know.
Only due to the, I read and listened to a couple things online where Georgiev wasn't doing super good.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to have another goalie for their second game.
Yeah, they should bring back Kemper.
Darcy. Oh.
Darcy Kemper?
He's on the Capitals, though.
Yeah, they should bring him back.
Well, now Darcy's in the playoffs.
Darcy's in the playoffs, but he's not starting.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. He'll probably be a backup.
Yeah, but apparently the Avs would have won that game if Darcy Kemper didn't let all those goals in. So.
Well, Alexander Georgiev, I believe, is supposed to be good.
He's supposed to be.
I don't know him very well, but I think he's kind of like Grubby, where he's like really, really good for like multiple games, and then he's like...
Well, Grubauer, our Kraken hockey goalie, our main one, for you guys who are new here, he's a hit or miss, but then when playoff comes, he's a playoff goalie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's good under pressure.
Playoff goalie for sure.
But yeah, I thought it was interesting because I guess the coach is already going to start switching out the goalie for the second game against the Jets. But
who knows? Have the Avs winning that series. I do too.
And then Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Panthers.
And the Panthers won.
Panthers won.
Which I have the Panthers winning that.
I don't.
So. But I do have the Toronto Maple Leafs winning against the Bruins.
I have the Bruins winning, so that's where you and I divide.
Yeah, there are a couple games playing just, right now tonight, but we're not able to watch it.
Yeah, we tried putting it on.
But they're not the Seattle Kraken, so who cares, right? So a couple news updates. There's an article out in the Seattle Times right now about Dave Hextall and Ron Francis having a little powwow. Apparently, they do this every year.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily just a powwow. It's like a legit
performance interview or
evaluation.
Evaluation.
But it's like a pretty extended process, it sounds like. I don't think it's just like a sit-down one-on-one. I don't think it's like that. I think this is like...
Like a panel?
I think it's a panel of some sort because I think that they have to go through different variables of some sort, and they need to look at, because in this particular article they were specifically saying that they'll have to look at the injuries, they'll have to look at, you know, the kids coming in from the AHL, and I guess specifically in the article they were saying how they weren't ready as quickly as last year, and then they also were saying it sounded like the guys got sick. Like, there was a bug going around the guys kind of towards the end of January, which also makes a difference in the evaluation. I feel like there was something else, but those were, like, the big key things that those may impact, I guess, the overall performance that are like on that are out of Haxdall's hands, essentially. Because obviously Haxdall doesn't have any sway in the AHL Coachella guys. It's their other coach.
Was the other part saying that the younger guys weren't ready for
pretty much.
Yeah. And I also didn't hear about, there wasn't any publicity about the guys being sick.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about that. I don't remember them ever saying, oh, so-and-so's out for a non-related injury. But I wonder if maybe that's why, like, Yamamoto was out for a while, or even Belmar was out for a while. A couple of them were out, in and out, and then I feel like I do remember some of them saying, oh, so-and-so is sick right now, but I don't remember them saying that often, but it sounded like the guys, like, gave it around to each other.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because unfortunately they're close quarters and they're traveling together and
yeah, they're always together, and then yeah, it's a community thing. Like,
and they're probably acting like brothers, like drinking after each other and you know, eating. I don't know exactly, but yeah, it just kind of sounds like a brotherly environment.
So Dave Haxdall's on the hot seat. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. There's a couple people that the Krakens have in mind. And it sounds like it's kind of the same people that they wanted to start off with.
Yeah.
When they initially wanted to, or were looking for a head coach. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Yeah. A couple of the guys that they were looking at are contingent to if their team performs well in the Stanley Cup, which kind of you and I were talking offline, and I pretty much was like, that's really shitty for them to be like, oh yeah, you're gonna get your players and your team to the playoffs, but if you don't make the Stanley Cup or even win the Stanley Cup, you're fired. Like, that sucks.
Honestly, even if the Krakens go to the playoffs year after year, I'm fine with that. I mean, after a certain while, you want them to win the Stanley Cup, but I want them to extend the season as much as possible.
Oh yeah, just get into the playoffs. Yeah, I mean, I think as much as performance is such a key, obviously, a key factor into getting into the playoffs and then winning the Stanley Cup, I don't know, part of it is just kind of like luck and odds and
tons who's peaking at the end of the season, yeah, like, you know, lucky shots, lucky goals, you know, good defense, like consistent defense.
Luck sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I don't know. I think our sports listeners are probably like, that's not how it works, but
physicality, you know, a lot of it has to do with like how well they're prepared in the postseason. Mm-hmm. But then at that point, everyone knows they're good for the most part, and then luck is involved for sure.
Yeah.
What is that saying when preparedness meets opportunity equals luck kind of deal?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. So we'll see. What's also happening is that at the end of the season, we also have end of the season interviews, so press conferences with the players. But I didn't get to watch it. I don't know where it was. I don't know if it was on TV, national television. It was held at the Community Iceplex, not only with Haxdall's thing going on, because I think Haxdall's thing is at the headquarters, which is at the Iceplex.
Yeah.
But not Haxdall's headquarters, the Kraken's headquarters.
Yeah.
But also they held interviews with the individual players, just talking about how the season went, where they need to improve on, and there's a couple other stuff in there too. I didn't get to see it. There's a clip online. I think it's on the Seattle Kraken YouTube. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But there's a short interviews, like cut snippets of interviews with different players that we get. I'll show you at the end of this.
But how do listeners, viewers watch the entire thing? You said you couldn't figure it out.
They didn't put it online.
That's interesting.
They didn't put the full one online. Hmm. But on Twitter and stuff like that, other people had seen it in the full length. Hmm. That I didn't get to.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things going on, you know, the postseason, our end of the regular season. There's a lot of changes happening, and it sounds like the wave is starting, you know, little bumps in the ocean. And then, you know, once it reaches shore, there's going to be some big waves coming to us and there's just going to be a lot of changes.
Yeah, I think I saw that they've already signed their first person, their first new person.
To like an entry-level contract. They're probably going to go to Coachella.
Oh, that's what entry-level means, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I didn't see the full, I just saw it on the Kraken page that they signed somebody
on. I don't fully get that. So when they sign people, I think they're signing them to be in the pipeline.
Yeah, I might actually talk about that a little bit later.
Okay.
I don't have like a full explanation, but I can give you scenarios.
Sounds good.
So.
All right.
Yeah, but I am curious to see who will come in and out.
Yeah. On the main line. We'll see. On the main team, as well as who are we going to sign. Like, looks like we're signing a lot of younger guys into the pipeline. And I'm sure everyone else is who left the regular season, so mm-hmm. left in the regular season.
Yeah.
All right. So go ahead. Start it off. All guys, right. This is a new segment here that at the Far From Shore podcast, where throughout the what do you call this?
The off season.
We're going to do what is called the player spotlight. We're calling it the player spotlight. So the player spotlight is the main people in the main squad. We're just going to go over like each individual just so you guys could like get to know them a little bit, as well as if they leave, we'll cover that too. So go ahead, take it on.
All right. So I am going over the first player spotlight, and our first player that we're going over is Yanni Gourde.
Yes. Love Yanni Gourde.
So I'm kind of dividing it into like who he is on our team, and then I'll kind of break it into a little bit about his personal life and then his career, and then kind of top it off with where he stands today.
Yeah, however you want to do it.
Yeah. Okay, so Yanni Gourde was born December 15th, 1991, so he's 32. In Saint-Nerice, I believe is how you say it, Quebec, Canada. So Saint-Nerice.
A little Frenchy.
Yeah. And he is 5'9", so 175 centimeters, 174, 78 kilos. And it seemed like in the times he's kind of fluctuated in and out of weight, which I don't really care about how heavy they are, but I think it's interesting because everywhere that I was looking in different headlines would say he's small, he's undersized is what they're saying.
Guys, if you're American and you don't know what kilograms is, just divide that number by 2.2.
I said the weight though.
Okay.
I said 174 pounds.
Well, for you Americans out there, just so you know.
Anyways, yeah, so a lot of articles say that he is undersized, but that he makes up for it in his performance. So he on the Krakens is number 37. He shoots left. He is a center. And currently he has a contract until 2025 with the Krakens.
Yes.
Overall, it is a $31 million contract.
That's a buco bucks.
So
right on, Yanni.
But it's broken up into $5.2 million yearly.
He's like, definitely worth that.
I mean, and it was interesting because I was looking at different pictures online, and they put a picture of the house that him and his wife had when they lived in Florida, and holy guacamole, jaw dropped. That house.
Dream house?
Woo-hoo. I think it was like even more than a dream house.
What does his house look like here in
I don't know.
Seattle?
I don't know. I didn't look. I mean, probably for privacy reasons. I didn't even try to look. I didn't want to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've seen some pictures of the inside of their house because they'll take pictures of, because Maddie Beniers and Will Borgen will occasionally come to their house, which is so funny and so cute.
To like babysit?
I don't know if it's to babysit, but like I remember for Christmas, they had a picture of his family and then Maddie, and I believe Will Borgen was also in it, and they all had matching pajamas.
That is awesome.
Like Will and Maddie were in the family. It was so cute.
Full on Christmas.
Yeah. Super cute. But So it said his nicknames are Gordy, Gordo, and Greyhound, which I never heard it. Greyhound.
I could see the Greyhound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never heard of the Greyhound either.
But it was on a hockey reference.
Might be a Tampa Bay Lightning thing.
Maybe, but I don't like Gordo because Gordo means fat in Spanish. So.
Gordo?
Yeah.
Oh. He's definitely not fat. He's apparently undersized.
Yeah, he's undersized. So in his personal life, he's married to Marie Andre. Sounded like they're both from St. Maurice. I don't know if they like grew... it did not look like they grew up together. It sounded like they met each other when they were both in their like 20s, I think, mm-hmm. is what it was. But they got married in 2015. They had their first baby, Emma, in May of 2018.
That's the year and month we were married.
Yeah.
We got married.
But then it was also funny because they got married the year that we met.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So they, again, it seemed like they had been together for a couple years before that. And then they just recently had their second daughter, Demi, in September of 2022. So they have a cute little Girl Squad family. And it looked like they had a St. Bernard or St. Bernice. But I saw a picture of a St. Bernice in like a family picture. But
those are two different dogs.
I think it was a St. Bernice. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
It was a dog. It was a big dog. Anyways, it seemed like they had a cute little doggy. But that's what I'm saying is that like I couldn't find anything else about their doggies. I don't have my own social media, so that might be another thing. So his hobbies are woodwork, crafts of sorts, home projects, and then board games.
So I think I was like, I knew so the carpenter cute. Part because he's really good with, you know, woodwork.
Yeah.
He had one of those, what was it with Filson?
It's called Uncharted. Yeah. I saw that, and that's the reason why I wrote it down here is because it said his hobbies are crafts, but then I wrote woodwork because he did something. It just seems like he's a very like hands-on type of person.
Yeah.
He just really
I think that's what he was doing like as a somewhat part-time job until he went into the NHL was woodworking.
I was trying to figure that out what he did on the side, but I couldn't really.
Really humble beginnings.
Well, it seemed like his background, just overall, he doesn't come from like a hockey family. His dad likes hockey, is what they said, and he had two brothers. He was the middle child, is what it sounded like, but he does not have like a background in hockey. I think the boys just all wanted to play, and he was kind of like encouraged to play because, like I said, his dad did like hockey, but he had mentioned multiple times that he thought he would never become an NHL player.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is crazy. He said he was lucky to... He said he felt... Not lucky. He said he felt, like, privileged, essentially, to be able to get into the NHL. And so he played in the juniors for quite a while. And then he played a couple AHL, ECHL, you know, leagues or teams. And then when he finally did get his call, he said he never had expected it. He was convinced he never would become an NHL player, which is very, very humble, I would say, of him as well. It just kind of shows what kind of humble beginnings he comes from. Because I remember you saying, too, that he kind of came out of nowhere, which, to be completely honest, it doesn't seem like he came out of nowhere, but he didn't have the background like a lot of other players do.
Like a legacy kind of deal where like
no.
Every one of their brothers played one of them went in and then he, okay.
Mm-mm. No. And I did not deep dive to see if his brothers play, but I don't think they do. So going down a little further to continue that, I think he played like peewee essentially when he was growing up. So he played peewee tournaments is what it says. So he played 2003 through 2005, he played peewee tournaments, and then at the age of 17, he was initially undrafted, but spent four seasons with the Victoriaville Tigers, of which is a part of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. But there, in his first season, he won the, I'm so sorry guys, Michel Briere Trophy?
Briere?
Briere. And he led the junior hockey league in points.
Nice.
Yeah, so he was the highest point scorer.
So he was pretty nice.
Yeah, so that trophy is for the most recognized player, essentially, like the most influential, I suppose.
For someone who thought he wasn't going to go into the NHL, he's actually...
And he was 17 when he got that. Like, he was doing well. Well, which is interesting. I actually don't know if that was... I think it was that year. But it was funny because he said that his first year playing, he was like, that was rough.
In the NHL?
No, in the juniors. Leagues. Yeah, even in the juniors, he said that was a rough transition going from pretty much high school to being a professional, like semi-professional. And so the major reason why, though, that he went to the Quebec juniors, because there's like juniors in different areas of Canada, the reason why he went to the Quebec juniors compared to going off to college in America was because it was too far from home for him, and because English is not his first language, so it sounded like he was not super confident to go down to a New England school, which is, you know, the big hockey schools.
But it also sounds like he's very homebody.
It sounds like it. So he just didn't want to be too far from home, and he just wasn't ready to make that transition. I don't know. I think that's very sweet.
Yeah.
And...
Kind of a man crush on him now.
You do?
Yeah.
I mean, I've always had a crush on him, sorry. So, finally, though, after playing 4 seasons at the Victoriaville Tigers, he started playing for the Worcester Sharks? Worcester?
Worcestershire?
But now they're called the San Jose Barracudas. So, this is an AHL team for the San Jose Sharks.
The Barracudas.
They're called the Barracudas.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so... Sorry, guys. I looked this up, and it seems like, obviously, teams change their names. No big deal. But I was very confused with AHL in general, because the AHL affiliations are random as heck sometimes. There's some teams...
Yeah, because we're pulling out of California.
Yeah.
Instead of the Firebirds. Or Thunderbirds, so sorry.
Which I didn't see the Thunderbirds on the AHL. So maybe I'm...
Maybe they're WHL?
They might be something else, because I didn't see them. But there's actually another Thunderbirds team on the AHL league, and it's not
Seattle?
No, it was something else. So, I don't know, maybe we can...
We'll get back to you.
It's a little all over... I did look it up, though. It's a little all over the place. So the reason why I bring it up, though, is because... So, at the time, 2011, he signed a 2-year contract in 2011 with the, at the time, Worcester Sharks. However, by the end of the season, he only made like 8 goals is what it looked like, and they decided to let him go. So, he ended up playing for the San Francisco Bulls, which is in East Coast Hockey League, ECHL. He played one season there. He then went on to, from 2013 to 2014, played with the Kalamazoo Wings, another ECHL team. But then after that team, with the Kalamazoo Wings, or not even at the end of that team or season, but during that season, the Worcester Sharks were like, ooh, okay, he's playing better. We want him back. So they took him back from Kalamazoo Wings, which as far as I know, they're not affiliated, so they must have just been keeping eyes on him. They ended up going... So he went back to the Sharks. And then at that point, 2014 through 2000, like that season, he finally ended up signing as a free agent by the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Woohoo!
March 14th. But this, again, is where you get into it. It was an entry-level contract, which meant he signed contract with the AHL, and this is even weirder for AHL, the AHL Syracuse Crunch.
The Crunch?
So, Tampa Bay Lightning's AHL affiliate is from Syracuse, New York.
Yeah, and Syracuse.
What
the
heck?
I don't know.
That's on opposite sides.
You can't make this up.
It just is confusing to me. So, anyways, guys, It's not that big of a deal. But so for, and they're still the affiliate for Tampa Bay Lightning. So he played for the Syracuse Crunch.
The more you know.
Yeah. So he played for about a year because, like I said, he signed as a free agent in 2014. And then he was finally recalled December 14th, 2015. And his debut game in the NHL was December 15th, 2015, which was the year he got married.
He had enough money to put a ring on it and actually pay for a wedding.
Their wedding pictures were really cute.
I bet.
Yeah. But this first game led to his first NHL assist.
Nice.
Yeah. So he would, during his stint, I suppose, with the AHL and ECHL, he played 336 games before making his NHL debut.
Holy cow.
Yeah. But yeah, before they would officially call him up. So then once they, pretty much at the end of that season, he would go, 2015 officially played for the Tampa Bay Lightnings, and he stayed with them. So between 2015 to 2021, he played for the Tampa Bay Lightnings. His first NHL goal was against the Florida Panthers when they were actually shorthanded on a penalty kill.
Ooh, yeah. He's really good at that shorthanded goals then.
Yeah, he is.
Because our last game, he scored two shorthanded goals.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, but actually it was quite interesting because they said that he's like one of like eight guys or something like that, that in the NHL, or in the Tampa Bay franchise, their first NHL goal was during a shorthand, which is so funny because Brayson and I always joke that the NHL will always find a stat for something, and that's one of those ones that you're like, that's a random stat, but
sports in general.
Sports in general. Totally. So I just think that's interesting. So his first NHL goal, though, was a shorthanded goal. So he ended up, this is, I was going to bring this up later on, but during his time in the Tampa Bay Lightnings, he won two Stanley Cups, 2019 to 2020, and then again in 2020 to 2021. So that is super cool, super awesome that he was.
So he has two Stanley Cups.
Two Stanley Cups. They were back to back.
Do they give them rings?
I have no clue.
But his name is on there twice then.
Yeah. His name is, yeah, they definitely, or at least a team's name is on there. I don't know how that works. But yeah, so, and it was actually really cute because his daughter was born during one of the playoffs.
Nice.
I believe. Yeah.
It's like, I can't make it to the hospital.
It says, yeah, because I wrote down 2019 to 2020 and then 2020 to 2021, but there were articles saying like, playoff baby. So yeah.
Your dad is a Tampa Bay Lightning fan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's always been a Tampa Bay Lightning fan.
First team is his Tampa Bay, and then he likes the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I wonder. I mean, I think he likes Yanni Gord because of that. And then he definitely likes their goalie, but anyways. So in 2021, going to the Krakens now, he ended up being selected during the NHL expansion draft by the Krakens. But he would end up missing the first 2 months.
Okay.
Because of a shoulder injury. So it seemed like he had an injury.
Must have been the woodworking.
Oh, that crazy. So yeah, he had a surgery and he had to recover for the first 2 months, but that did not stop him because he was still, received the alternate captain position while he was off bench or on bench.
Probably due to his merit.
It's possible. I mean, they definitely really liked at the Tampa Bay Lightning that he was a good goal scorer. And then if you guys are listening to this podcast, then you've probably watched the Seattle Kraken. Yanni Gord is aggressive on the ice. He is a presence. He is not afraid of, you know, putting his voice out there to the refs as well. And actually, I didn't write it down because I don't have the exact, like, because I don't know, I didn't want to highlight it on it too much. But, you know, Yanni's gotten in trouble too. And Yanni actually did do an illegal check. And his first illegal check was he hit somebody in the back of the head and he was out for, what, 3-5 games. So he's done his time. You know what I mean?
He's not afraid to fight.
He's not afraid to fight. I mean, I don't really think that that's ever an excuse to hit people in illegal ways, but, you know. I still like Yanni, don't worry.
Oh, yeah. You can hit whatever, whoever you want. I don't care.
So his debut line, though. So his debut game to the Krakens, his debut line was Eberle himself and Schwartz.
Oh.
Yeah. So that was his debut line, and that was against the New Jersey Devils.
Did we win that game?
I don't know. I didn't look. But his first Kraken goal was October 26, 2021, against the Montreal Canadiens. And, yeah, now he's been with the Seattle Krakens ever since the inaugural season. And then our prediction is that he will be with us forever. Cross fingers. Please don't go anywhere.
Yeah, please. No, please.
Please. I mean, like,
make him captain.
Let's give him captaincy. And then I do think he deserves it. If they give it to Eberle, I'm going to shake my head. I'm going to be sorry, guys. Sorry for our listeners that are Eberle fans. I think Yanni deserves it more.
Way more.
Yeah. I mean,
like, it's kind of disrespectful to give somebody who's never won a Stanley Cup. Honestly.
Yeah. I know that last year when they were talking about the playoffs, they asked Yanni pretty frequently, like, what are your opinions? What are your thoughts? Like, what's your advice for the guys? And he just kind of, you know, gave good leadership advice. And then I do know that Hextall was talking about, like, we've got Stanley Cup players on our team going into the playoffs, and so we're going to lean heavily on these guys. And that was part of, one of them at least, was Yanni.
Yeah.
Yanni. Andre Burakovsky.
Vince Dunn. Mm-hmm. A couple other guys who's really escaping me right now.
Yeah, but I mean, those top three right there. So, yeah, I mean, overall, though, I did write, because again, we kind of were talking about how we felt like all of our players played so drastically differently than last year. So I wrote down the stats for last year and this year. So last year, I'll do last year's first. Last year, he played 81 games. He made 14 goals, 34 assists, and he made 48 points.
So you only missed one game. Pretty much.
Yeah. Like, and then
you could count on how many, on one hand, how many games he missed.
Yeah. So this season, he played 80 games. He only made 11 goals. He assisted 22 goals, and then he made 33 points. So a little bit lower than last year. But that's, I don't know. I don't feel like that was like a ton difference compared to last year, because he still made, so he only made 3 less goals.
Okay.
You know,
I thought he made 12 more last year.
I thought he did too, but no, he made 14 goals last year and 11 this year. So his assists, yeah, he made about 12 less assists this year than he did last year. But yeah. Overall, he's played 545 games, and that's just in the NHL. That does not count his AHL and ECHL or even Quebec time, or his junior league time. So I still think that's important. That's his personal goals or personal games. Overall, he's also made 126 goals, 190 assists, and he's made 316 points.
Overall, he's only made 126 goals?
Correct.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Out of 500.
That's not a lot.
Out of 545.
That's not a lot.
Yeah, but I feel like his position is, I know that he's, like, technically on that forward, like, on that offense line, but he's a center.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Like, I feel like other players are in a better position.
Wingers.
Wingers, and he's a center, and I don't know. I still think he, again, has a strong presence on the ice, but I think there are other players that are more of the goal shooters. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We've definitely seen
shooters.
Him. Shooters. The shooters. But we've definitely seen some pretty, like, heck yeah goals from him. I remember, like, one goal that they did last year, and they were like, this is a Yanni Gore world, and we're just living in it. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
We were all like, yes! Yeah, and then overall, I would say it seems like he's involved in the community. He's done several, like, Uncharted, like, activities with Allison Lucan. So he did that woodworking.
He put on a Starbucks activity. Apron.
He put on a Starbucks apron and even, like, was handing coffee out at the drive-thru that they were at that day. I would...
If I was receiving a coffee from Yanni Gord, I don't know what I'd do.
I don't know what I would do. But then I was joking because we talked about this before in the podcast that we both worked at Starbucks. And if I was the person that had to, like, train Yanni Gord that day, I would probably, like, start bawling.
Yeah.
Of, like, excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I would be like, this is so cool. But that's really fun for him to do that. And that's cool that he did that with a partner of the team. I don't know, maybe they're required to do those kind of things, but still, like, that sounds really fun.
Yeah.
And he seems like a cool dad. There's other Uncharted episodes and videos of him with his little girls when they were doing a pumpkin patching, like pumpkin patch picking.
That was awesome.
That was so cute. So I know some of our listeners might be like, oh, this is so sappy, but whatever. I don't care. I love the hockey dads. Mm-hmm. I think it's so cute. And I love there was a video of his wife holding up the baby, their oldest, and was holding up her. And then it looked like they were, so then he was like waving at her and he was like blowing her kisses and things like that. And then when they found out they were pregnant, they made her a tiny little baby jersey. And then it said something about, like, even our unborn daughter needs to have a jersey special made for her. I was
nice.
Like, oh. It's so cute.
And of course, it's a Kraken jersey.
No, it was his first daughter, so that was when he was at the Lightnings.
Okay, I thought it was his second daughter.
No, his second daughter, yeah, he would have been at the Krakens. Mm-hmm. Emma and Demi.
Emma and Demi.
And then his wife is Marie, with a potential dog.
Who's probably also a girl. A girl dad all around.
He's a girl dad. That's so cute. But anyways, yeah, that's what I got about Yanni Gord.
Awesome. He sounds like a cool guy.
He seems like he has a good career. He had a good career path.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, he was a little different compared to even some of our other guys that played European or even played college. So we'll dive more into some of those guys. But yeah, he had his own path and did his own thing. And
yeah, he did his own thing.
Yeah, had a dream, had a goal, and he did it.
That's awesome.
Good for you, Yanni Gord.
Yeah. Came out of the woodworks, no pun intended. That's pretty awesome.
Or intended.
Yeah, but cool, awesome. Anything else you want to add to Mr. Yanni Gord?
I mean, I have his jersey and I want to get it signed one day.
Nice. Cool.
Fangirling. But no, I think other than that, we're excited for the next player spotlight, which is, who do you have next time?
I have the next player profile or next player spotlight is going to be from me, but I'm not going to say.
Oh, sorry. We're keeping this a secret. Okay.
Yep.
Don't worry.
I want you guys to keep coming back. We'll figure it out.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what's next for us? What's next for the Kraken? We're going to figure it out. Hopefully within the coming weeks, we could hear what Hextall, you know.
Yeah.
See if what he has to pack up his office or, you know, hopefully not. We'll see. He could figure something out. But not only Hextall, there's also going to be Paul McFarland in the hot seat. And I hope he gets fired. I hope he leaves. Not sorry, really. Like, no remorse. Because the Seattle Kraken... is a Seattle team, and Seattle is not really known for, like, really good sports teams. Very, like, middle of the road to, like, towards the bottom, just like the Mariners. The Sounders obviously have won a national champion. The Seahawks won a Super Bowl, like, a couple times
from when we were fans. Times.
And I really don't want to see the Kraken become another statistic to that. And one of the things that I want to see is...
Well, we want to see them win championships.
I do want to see them win championships. And I really want the managers to realize and see problems and then fix the problem. Find a solution quick, because it's a thing in Seattle for some reason to have really bad sports teams. And I don't want that to happen for the Kraken.
Like, yeah, but we're hopeful.
Very hopeful. Very excited for what's coming next. Really bummed out that it's only been 3 days.
We'll start our countdown. I think also for the next, for the rest of off season, like we talked about, trading will be happening. There will also be summer camp. I think the guys get a couple weeks off and then they'll start summer camp. And then I don't think everybody goes to summer camp. I think
it's like optional.
It may be optional. Like
summer workouts.
Yeah, I think it's like summer workouts. I know there are several guys that will like definitely be doing it. Like Matty Beniers will definitely be doing it. Matty specifically said that he knows that he didn't play to the standard that he expected of himself and he's going to do better.
Good for him.
He knew. Yeah, he said he knew that he didn't play the way that he wanted
Self-accountability is awesome. Totally.
And self-awareness, honestly. Yeah, he said he knew and he wants to be better and he has like plans, which to me also kind of was like, why start tomorrow that you can start today type of situation where it's like, don't put it off to next
season. Except for Adam Larson. Adam Larson, go get some sleep. Go hang out with your newborn child.
Your baby girl.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, you deserve it, bud.
You do deserve a summer off.
Bjorkstrand's going back probably to Denmark.
Yeah,
Burakovsky going back to Sweden. Tatar going back to Slovenia.
Yeah, I wonder if they do those kind of things.
100%, because I bet their families live there still. In particular, their mom or dad.
Yeah, so. But you don't know the relationships. Maybe they're like, we're done with you. Yeah. Or maybe they're great. Or maybe their family comes to them. I don't know. But
okay, yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm just, you know.
Yeah, just go. Just in general, I'm really glad the guys could go off and go have a break.
So that we can come back stronger for season 4.
That season was rough. And, go get your mental part of, of your game all ready to go and then come back, come summer camp, and let's get this season going. Yeah, let's start preparing.
Fourth season.
But, we're not there yet. Stanley Cup is still going.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been 3 days. And, yeah. I have a new sign out, actually, for everyone. It's just change it up a little bit. It's like just one word. But before I do that, was there anything else you want to add?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Until next time, Squids, don't give up the deep.